Great, thank you. Welcome everyone to the September 14th meeting of the Twila Valley PO, being held via Zoom at 1:30 p.m. And everyone should have received a copy of the June 8th meeting minutes. And I would welcome a motion on those minutes, or any comments or questions.
I will propose that we approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Tripp. Anyone care to second?
I will second that motion.
Thank you, Mayor Nguyen. Appreciate it. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Thank you. Those will stand approved. All right. Let's turn it over to James. Grantsville City asked if they might share some information about recent and upcoming developments near Sheep Lane. And would love to hear from James on that. And then we'll open up for questions and discussion. James.
Thanks, Wayne. Hi, everyone. You might have seen some email traffic. I know Wayne emailed out some maps of some annexations. The Lakeview Business Park is now in Grantsville. They annexed in 1,323 acres total that'll straddle Sheep Lane. They have an east and a west development. And then the LDS Church annexed in 548 acres into the city. And we also received a notice of intent from Skywalk Development to annex in an additional 400 plus acres, which will happen after the gubernatorial election. As most of you are aware, on Sheep Lane, that makes a direct connection to Sheep Lane, we have the Utah Motor Sports Campus. Desert Peak Complex is right in the area, and Purple is on Sheep Lane. So Sheep Lane is about to really explode, and we just want to make sure that it's on everybody's radar. And I'll stop there, Wayne, if anybody has any questions.
All right. Any questions for James? I know I've got a few, but I'd like to hear others' questions first.
Also, I'd like to add our city engineer, Tim Dixon, is on the line as well. Mayor Marshall could not be here today.
Thank you. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, everyone. Glad to be here.
All right, well.
One question
please,
I had.
Grant.
Do they have, are they in the process of doing the traffic impact studies for those developments, or those already been completed?
James, I can answer that one. Oh, go ahead, James.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, go ahead. The ones that I know of for sure, Skywalk is doing it, and we do have some here already in the office that are currently underway. James, is there anything different that you want to add to that?
No, they are underway, and I know we've received our community development received the Lakeview Business Park. They're really trying to get buildings in quick, so we could try to get some copies of that from our contract planning team and get those over to you.
I think that sounds good to circulate copies of any studies that have been done or are upcoming, just for general awareness and hopefully additional planning.
That would be great. Sometimes, a lot of times, facilities that aren't exactly on state route but end up affecting state routes don't sometimes find their way over to UDOT, and so that would be really helpful. It's actually Lisa's group that reviews them also, but that would be really valuable if we could see them as they're developed.
And is that just send those to you, Grant, and to Wayne? Is there anybody else that should be receiving those?
If you could send them to me, this is Lisa Zundel. I work with Grant over at Region 2 as well.
Okay.
And you said the Skywalk development will be after the election, right? So it'll still need to go through the referendum process, or I was just curious how that works.
That's correct. In the process, they didn't provide a map, so they couldn't go get sent through the process. So they have since submitted a map.
So that will help them with the annexation process. Is that what you mean?
That's correct. Now it can go through its paces.
Okay. I guess the only other question I have is there, can anyone give us a status update of where things are at in terms of doing a supplemental environmental study or a new environmental study in relation to the middle section of Mid Valley Highway or the southern section? Just wondering if anyone has any information on where if what discussion there's been or any other information.
I know the two that have annexed in have an environmental study. I can reach out to our contract city planner, and we can see, I can forward that over as well, or have him forward it over as well. In relation to how it affects the Mid Valley Highway, we'll have to marry him up and see Wayne.
Right.
I was talking to Juan Lee Spradlin, she's on the line. So she
sorry, I muted myself.
You're good.
Hi. This is Juan. I'm the project manager for the Mid Valley Highway project. So the next phase 2 and 3, the EIS, we are locked in with a current alignment that swings to the far west of Sheep Lane. And that actually has significant property impacts. If we want to make any changes, we would to this to that alignment, we'd have to do a what we call a light EA or a heavy categorical exclusion reevaluation of the project. It's not that difficult. It actually lessens the impact. It just documents the impact changes. I will gladly head up and help go through that process, but the county must initiate the sponsorship to have that happen. Otherwise, we're just locked in at the current alignment.
And Juan, from my understanding, there's currently a Univ petroleum line that's right on top of the Mid Valley alignment that would cost tens of millions to relocate, right?
Yes, we are about five, and we are conflicting with them. Our alignment and theirs conflicts about 5.5 miles of it. It is a very costly line. They've already constructed their facilities, so. Getting them to move is hard. The current Mid-Valley phase that's in construction right now, we've only had to relocate about three-quarter of a mile of conflicts from them, and that's costing the project about $3 million. So at 5.5 miles, can you just imagine the cost would just be a lot.
Thank you, Juan. Thanks, Grant. Any other comments or discussion?
I just have one comment. Looking forward, as this Skywalk development is built, the connection of the old SR-138 that will become the county's and Parachute Park Lane into Mountain View. Obviously, there will need to be some modifications to that intersection of Parachute Park Lane and the old 138. Just making sure that all elements, including signing and everything, are looked at when those modifications are made. The signing plan that we currently have for Parachute Park Lane as you approach it from 138 is a little bit tricky, to say the least. So just making sure that everything in that intersection and approaching that intersection is looked at when those modifications are made.
This is Paul with Twilla City. If the county is going to look at that mid segment, we really need to make sure we look at the south segment as well and see, you know, what impact any or all of that has and how we update the whole plan.
Yeah, there are needs. Sounds like there needs both on the middle section and the south section. So thank you, everyone.
Wayne, it looks like Kim has some comments in the chat box.
James, do you want to respond to those?
Biking, as far as biking pathways, I love the idea of those. I think it's a great opportunity for the county. We've discussed this probably a year ago to have off-highway bike access. Let me see the second one here. Yeah, I agree. Sheep Lane needs to be added. As soon as we received this information, I've talked about these developments over the course of the last few months, and you know, that's why I've asked to discuss them, because it is going to make major impacts to this route, to this road, and Sheep Lane becoming a state road, and if that's an option, I think it's going to have the amount of traffic to warrant it. That's all I have. I hope I answer your question, Kim.
Usually when we come onto a straight road, there's usually a swap of some sort of switching roads that are taking over, showing that it's regionally significant. And where Mid Valley is kind of going to be going through that same section to the future. I think Mid Valley will probably be the state route that will just be going on. If there's a swap that's desired, then we can look into evaluating it, what sort of financial contribution that usually accompanies it. And it's a pretty extensive process if that's really the desire, but Mid Valley Highway seems to make a lot more sense to be the state route that's planned in the future. So.
Thanks, Grant. Thanks, James. Any other final questions or comments for today for James?
So from what I'm hearing, though, it does not sound like there's financing in the works from either Grantsville, Twilla City, or Twilla County for the reevaluation. Is that correct, or are there any plans to pursuing any funding for that?
So I will talk to Mayor Marshall. That's not a decision for me to make. That's up to the mayor and the city council. So I'll bring up this, and I guess the Grantsville City Mayor can contact commissioners and Mayor Wynn and discuss that. But I don't have an answer for that.
Do you need any support from me in providing any estimates for time and for schedule and funds?
I think that would be helpful. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to have some type of estimate so that we can discuss it and see where to go.
So we took a look at this with my design team. And while I had the designers on board, just to give me an estimate on what's the schedule impact and funding needs. At the time that we projected it 2 years ago, it was 800K and up to 18 months. But budgetary reason, I would actually go for $1.2 million because we don't know how far in the future this will be, and to keep the 18 months because the 18 months already has just contingencies for federal agency timeline.
Thank you, Juan. Yeah, it might be, sounds like it'd be helpful to for the county and the two season get together, and it, and perhaps if there's a desire for UDOT or WFRC staff support in expanding funding options, we'd be happy to assist in those discussions.
Mayor Wynn made a comment that the Mid Valley Highway can be discussed at the next COG meeting.
Ah, very good. Well, for time's sake for today's meeting, appreciate that discussion. And James, thank you. Tim, thanks for sharing that information. And thanks, everyone, for the good questions and comments. We'd now like to turn some time over to Nathan Lee, who's the director of I believe it's the Innovation Technology Division at UDOT. Correct me, Nate, if I'm messing that up, but Nate was courteous enough to have he and Tiffany Bocock here, and give us some information about the road usage charge program that the state has been administering for the past little while. Nathan, thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. We're grateful to be here with you. As you guys probably know, a couple of years ago, they started some legislation about UDOT exploring road usage charge, a different way to collect revenue for vehicles as we transition in vehicle types from gas to electric and other means, as well as possible a sustainable method for gas tax revenues that continue to decline that would pay for roads and by user choice principles, that you pay for that which you use. So about a year ago, we hired Tiffany Pocock as the director to oversee and manage and run the road usage charge program. And Tiffany's on here today, and she's gonna kind of jump in here in just a second, and she'll present to you how the program works, kind of where we're at and where we're headed, and then we'll be happy to answer any questions once she's done. So Tiffany, why don't you go ahead?
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was about to say I'll take silence as a yes. Okay, let me start this presentation. Nathan kind of already went over kind of some of the legislative policies that have been in place now since 2018. One thing I do want to point out, though, moving forward, is the definition of alternative fuel vehicles. They are the eligible types that are permitted into this road usage charge program. And those include electric vehicles, plug-in electric vehicles, and hybrids. I think the rest of that Nathan covered pretty well. For those of you who don't know what a road usage charge is, it's easy to think of it as a utility, whereas, like Nathan mentioned, it's a user pay principle, similar to your water, gas, or electricity bills. The more you use, the more you pay. And as Nathan said, this is a potential replacement for what we now use as our transportation infrastructure revenue as the gas tax. And, you know, that's been useful and done its job for the last, 100 years or so. But as the fleet tends to move more electric and high MPG, you know, it's not the same kind of user pay for what you use that it used to be. So this road usage charge program is a replacement for that. And, you know, you pay for what you use. So in January of 2020, owners of alternative fuel vehicles had a choice. They could either pay the flat fee at the time of their DMV registration, or they could enroll now into this program and pay the 1.5 cents up to their flat fee. So you're not going to exceed that. It's more of an installment where you pay as you go, or you can have a flat fee. So it is an operational program. It's not a pilot. It doesn't have a sunset. And we launched in January. So we've been live now for 9 months. So how the system initially works is the state UDOT and DMV went out and hired an account manager. They're called Amovis. They facilitate the enrollment, customer service, front end, back end, between the enrollee and themselves. So you would go to, if you were an owner and wanted to be a part of the program, you would go to the website, enroll, and all of those terms and conditions and interactions happen between the enrollee and that third party. Us as the state doesn't receive any account information. We're kind of using that as the firewall of data privacy. The only information that the state gets is kind of aggregated anonymized data. Data does exist, and data will help us make good decisions, similar to some of the project discussion that you guys were making. Knowing some of those trip informations will help us in the future make good mobility decisions. Some initial elements, the technology that we're using is either the telematics or the brain in the car, or we are using what's called an OBD2 device. It's just a little black, I don't know if anybody has enrolled, the insurance companies use them a lot as well. So those are the two types of technology that we're using to communicate with the car. Like I said, the privacy is a huge, concern, because we're using kind of that third party to do the data retention and revenue exchange. Like I mentioned, the only people that are eligible for the program are alternative fuel vehicles. The interoperability portion is, if it integrated and then strong partners with our DMV. So as you in the DMV database are talking live to make sure that your vehicle is eligible and what your fee is. And then the revenue management, we've set it up very similar to our tolling or express lanes, where it's kind of a prepaid wallet, and you set that up and then you pay it down and it trues up until you're at your fee or you end up saving money. So we went live. This is our website, the roadusagecharge.utah.gov. That's the website that you would go to enroll into the program. And then from there, MLS would either issue a device or, you know, start communicating directly with your car, and you'd be paying paying as you go, or paying per mile. Some enrollment information, like I said, the program started in January, and, you know, as of this month, we have 2,000 participants that have are active into the program. You know, lots of people tend to ask, what's the makeup of the vehicle types? We have a pretty large hybrid and electric group, and, you know, some plugins as well. Down here in the technology, we are using quite a bit of the OBD2 technology. You know, as we are, you know, developing the program and learning, we are trying to make business decisions to move more into the telematics. But as of now, this is the makeup of the program. We often get asked too, like, what's the future of the program? Some other legislation, we were asked last year to make up kind of a roadmap or some alternatives for the state to enroll all registered vehicles by 2031. So basically kind of a 10-year, some 10-year alternatives for policymakers to understand how we get from kind of primarily using the gas tax over to a road usage-based system. And with that, that's kind of the broad stroke presentation that we had put together for you guys. If there's questions, Nathan and I are happy to talk. I don't know what I've done with this over here.
Thank you,
Tiffany. Yeah, was there a question?
Wayne, this is Nathan. Maybe Tiffany could just talk a little bit about what our plan is looking forward for the next 10 years. As she mentioned with this SB150 that's up there on the screen, there's a lot of different things that maybe need to happen to get there, and maybe she can just talk a little bit about what types of things we might be looking into.
Sounds good.
Yeah, some things we're going to be looking into is how to kind of move that needle in from just having alternative fuel vehicles in the program to what, you know, how to incrementally include more types of vehicles. Is that age-based? Is that a vehicle type-based? How to basically reduce our overhead costs as much as possible. This is supposed to be a revenue generating program. You know, there's different things we can do with the technology as well. Like I alluded to, looking at telematics versus, you know, do we work with an app, or and how do we integrate with other systems, such as, like I said, we set up our wallets similar to tolling. So does it make financial sense to start integrating with some of those other front back end offices to, you know, economize with scale? Did I get it all, Nathan, or were there some items that I missed?
That sounds great. I'd probably be happy to answer any questions you have, Wayne. What was it, the interest of the group?
Thank you. I know that clarified in my mind. Any questions for Tiffany?
I'm sorry, Wayne. This is Paul. Quick question. One of the questions that we always seem to come back to is what this means to cities at the end of the day and counties in terms of pavement management. Do we still have a good feeling that the funding will still be there at the same or an enhanced level from where we're at today?
Yeah, interoperability is, you know, another, you know, benchmark that we need to get to. Right now, you know, any miles kind of driven in Utah just goes into the road usage charge program. But yeah, eventually we do need to kind of work with the locals as well as, you know, regionally, how others, you know, all the states are kind of working, because it doesn't work just kind of in a silo of if Utah has a program and then Oregon has a program. So interoperability is definitely something that we're looking into, and you know that we have to kind of figure out. And thankfully, on a national level, FHWA has been, trying to partner as well and provide, funding sources for us to figure out these types of questions and to sort of get it right on a state level and then, eventually move to a national stage.
Yeah, one other thing you might be looking at in regards to that question is your BNC revenue distribution. And as most of you have probably recognized, your revenue distribution is close to the same or just increasing slightly, but that's based on the number of miles people are driving being far in excess of what they used to be. Because everybody's vehicles are getting better gas mileage and the amount of fuel being bought is lowering, so the total amount's there. So without population growth and almost 15,000 miles per vehicle being driven right now, you're going to see that gas tax revenue continue to decline. That's happening right now, and that affects you on that BNC distribution. So the whole goal of the fee that was initially set there was to help sustain different types that they're paying a portion. And as you continue to build more and more roads to fill all those subdivisions and population growth you have, you're looking at different ways to minimize roads, minimize size, minimize some of that growth. We've also got to look on this side and say, well, what's the revenue stream going to be? And nationally, as well as in Utah, that revenue stream's declining at the same time that the cost for the road maintenance is increasing. So it's only a matter of time until that becomes a crisis. And that's where forward thinking from the legislature has gone to this program and say, well, how can we set up a system then that structures where users that use the roads pay for the roads, much like you would with those who use transit pay for it. What's the structure going to look like for that in the future? We're hoping that this is maybe one of those methods to do that. As Tiffany said, though, it's real easy to collect gas tax revenue. We collect it at the rack in a bulk manner that has very little administrative cost to us. It's a lot more difficult when you start moving into a program like this to collect revenues when you're talking about every individual vehicle. Right, there's just going to be a lot more administrative cost to that type of thing. So one of the efforts is looking at programs that help us address the needs of users and opportunities, but also continue to bring down that administrative cost or burden, because that will affect all of us at every city and county and state level.
Right. And I have certainly no opposition to environmental friendly cars. The weight of a Tesla Model 3 is the same as my Nissan Altima, and so my wear and tear on the highway is the same between two comparable cars. So, as long as the model is looking at impact on roadways so that they can be sufficiently maintained, I'm all for it.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? Well, thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate it. That's very helpful.
Thank you for having us.
Please. Sorry, Tiffany?
Oh, I just said thank you for having us.
You bet. Mid-Valley Highway and westbound I-80 auxiliary lane. Let's see, is Juan still with us? There we go.
Oh, sorry. I had my mute on and I had too many screens trying to figure out where the unmute is.
All right. Can everyone hear me now? So, hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So Mid-Valley, we've made a lot of headways and right now we're in a low. So I-80, let me see if I can share some pictures from our progress pictures from the project with everyone.
course, I'm having trouble. I am so sorry. Might have to go to Pat while I figure out how to share screen here. Pat, can you take over and I'll let me try to figure out how to share my screen.
Yeah, I can do that one. No worries. Yeah. BlackRock, we're still looking pretty soon to switch traffic on I-80 there. Hopefully here in the next, hopefully this week we get westbound over there. It's going to look a little funky. We've got to do kind of a slow switch to look at some things. But yeah, so we should be getting traffic over there. There's a couple things outstanding, but here by the end of the month, next month, we should have all of I-80 on I-80 westbound and start building the eastbound and get the tent bridge out of there and start building the eastbound is kind of where we're at right now. We're probably looking up at finishing the eastbound next spring, late spring after the winter. We ran into some issues that didn't allow us to get everything done this year as we hoped. But yeah, we should be getting traffic on westbound on the new bridge here shortly.
And thank you, 36 Pat.
Is, yeah, sorry, one thing too. 36 is kind of closing up here. Probably by the end of the month, we'll have SR36 hopefully pretty close to buttoned up the overpass over I-80 over there.
Thanks very much. Questions or comments for Pat? All right, sounds good. Juan, looks like you're ready. Anything you'd like to say about these pictures, Juan? All right. Well, we'll let Juan jump back in here whenever she's ready, but
okay. Oh, sorry. So I'm back. So we've completed surcharge for I-80 and also for the cattle guard, cattle crossing for 6 Mile Ranch. And also paving on the south side near Sheep Lane. This picture right here is I-80, and that's the paving for the Sheep Lane area. We had a major culvert we had to install, and there is the parachute lane. Oh, and there's the major culvert for Kennecott. That major canal, sorry. With that, we are on schedule to return next year, either the end of April or the first week of May, depending on how our surcharge is handling. When we finish surcharging, we've already settled 2.5 feet on the south side of I-80, and we're expecting 5.5 feet. I know when you first put down a surcharge, there'll be a lot of action happening, and you see a lot of settlement the first 6 months. But then thereafter, it slows down a bit, as Pat will tell you. So be patient. But weather-wise, it's been working for us. And I have no idea what's going to happen this winter, but we're hoping for a good winter. So that's where we are with Mid-Valley. If you have any questions, let me know. You're welcome to email me or call me later too. That's fine.
If thank you.
If there's nothing any further, I also want to update the group on I-80 westbound Ox Lane addition. So that project, we are 6 months ahead of schedule. Yay! And due to open that lane tomorrow for those who are waiting impatiently for it. So we expect that to happen tomorrow morning, to have that lane to be open. There may be some work there still as we finish up the overhead VMS signage and, of course, clean up. So we're not completely out of there. Just the lane will be open. So any question on that one?
Terrific. That's great that it's 6 months ahead of schedule. Well, thank you, Pat. Thank you, Juan. Appreciate that. And we'll go to Kayla for a transit feasibility study update.
Great. Thanks, Wayne. Let me get this up. Okay, so I'm just going to run through some quick updates with the Tooele Valley Transit Study. We're extending the schedule a little bit, as you probably are all aware. We've run into a few hiccups, but we're getting them ironed out. So I just want to let everyone know that the existing conditions memo or report has been completed, and this is where it investigates the past, current, and future growth to look at the range of feasible transit options for the Tooele Valley. So this report, if anyone is interested in looking at it, it looks into past studies and plans, land use, population, employment trends, travel and traffic patterns, and then past and existing transit and van pool services. So moving forward, and this is kind of where we've run into a few issues. I'll just be transparent with everyone. The consultant is developing a direct ridership model. And so this is used to analyze and really forecast transit ridership, because the Tooele County is not in the WRC travel model. And so that's why it's needed to develop its own ridership model. Unfortunately, the initial routes that were used by the consultant to calibrate them to similar services that are offered in Tooele were not producing significant results. And I know that this study is really important to the area. And so in order for everyone to have a useful and effective tool, we've actually gone back and looked more closely into the routes that were selected. And we've taken those out and we've added 6 more routes, and specifically 3 express routes that are actually much more similar to the transit service offered from the Tooele area to Salt Lake City area. It took a little bit of time because it was me doing the data collection and gathering, and I am not a modeler by any means. So it has taken a little bit of time, but I did get them all the information about 2 weeks ago. They're running the calibrations now. And so hopefully, I'm hoping by this week, we're gonna start actually seeing some better results. So that's kind of been the holdup on some things, and I just wanted to give everyone a bit update on progress with that. Next is the Tooele Transit Alternatives Evaluation. So John Nepstad with Fear and Peers sent this out, I think, 2 weeks ago to a number of stakeholders that illustrates the potential transit alternatives, looking with their with the Fear and Peers list of criteria to be examined for each alternative. I caught up with him last Friday, and we still haven't actually received any comments or feedback from the group. So I would be happy to send this out again if people are still willing to have input on the alternatives, you know, if you don't like them, if you don't agree with the alignments, if you aren't on board with the mode. We need to, it'd be great to hear any comments and ideas. So if anyone's interested, I can send this evaluation form out to get some feedback from the group. I just really want to make sure that we're capturing the thoughts and perceptions from the Tooele Valley professionals. So, and here's kind of the next steps that we're going through. I know it's quite a bit, but you'll see that the direct ridership model is going to be coming. We're going to have the technical memo once we move forward on the transit alternatives. Then we'll get some project costs. We are going to have another public engagement meeting, which we are discussing of how we're going to be doing that. And it will most likely be in an online format just due to COVID, if I'm being honest. So, and then we'll kind of just run through the recommended projects and supporting actions, the full cost analysis report, the full technical memo on project implementation, and then ultimately, finally, the study report will be formalized. So that is where we are at. Very quick slide deck for you just to run through, but I'm happy to take any questions if there's any.
Thank you, Kayla. That's very helpful. Any questions? Hearing none, appreciate that update. We'll turn it over to Grant.
All right, thanks, Kayla and Wayne. Ted, I think just an update about the UDOT. See, study, here we go. You should be seeing our PDF. And we had about our brainstorm workshop online, obviously about a month ago. And so these are, we have different sections, the Tooele Salt Lake County section, the part where it connects in from I-80 down to Mills Junction, and then kind of Mills Junction solutions. So I'll just go over the top section where these are some of our brainstorming ideas of just additional lanes on along I-80, or have them separated by a barrier along I-80. Most of you probably should have seen these as you are informed and or at least invited to these brainstorming workshops, but just in case you haven't seen these, I'll just run through them quickly. Reversible lane on I-80 has very created a graphic that shows the directional split. I-15 and about Point of the Mountain with the border of Utah Salt Lake County, it has a 50-50 split in the peak directions going both ways, which is a very optimal use of your infrastructure. Parley's Canyon, it's about a 45-55. It's a lot of people going both ways. This location, it's about 70-30 split, which I don't think surprises anybody, that it's just very peak in nature. But that kind of gives reason for some of these options like a reversible lane or expanding the capacity significantly. There's a couplet option where it kind of does more, it's kind of like a barrier Then there's expanding to the east, parallel between the railroad, I'd say the south, really, and with a kind of a reverse in that, then west of I-80, but or again north of I-80, but south of the northern railroad tracks. There was an option to super or double decker it over I-80. That one has not been, it's kind of been nixed for feasibility options with the cost and seismic concerns of that option. And then the option to go over the railroad track or over the mountain, I should say. So these are being, now we're in the process of doing the first phasing of screening criteria. So we'll be working on that. Let's see. The our consultants, this is just a really busy spreadsheet, but we've got our criteria, which are reliable, safe connection, environmental, and kind of I-80 connections. And so we'll be going through and vetting this, and that's kind of in the process that we are. And as we kind of complete all of that analysis, we'll have another meeting to re-engage. So that's where we are in this process. Are there any questions about that, our study?
Any questions for Grant? All right.
I should also,
thank you, Grant.
I should also mention we did do some analysis of the benefits of the I-80 westbound auxiliary lane, just showing when there's a one crash incident. I mean, I know there's every type of incidents is unique and some are much more catastrophic than others, but just showing the impact of a one lane incident or incident blocking one lane for 15 to 2 hours, what that does did to traffic the two lanes and with the auxiliary lane and what that will do in the future. And it's just really powerful to see how an auxiliary lane now will reduce the delays by anywhere from 60 to 80%. So hopefully that will keep your phones from ringing when incidents happen in the future and keep traffic flowing through. But that should be a powerful thing to share to the public.
Excellent. Thank you, Grant. Let's see. Other business. I know Jeff Miller has an item, and then we'll open it up for anyone else.
Jeff Miller here with Tooele County. We're just providing a quick update on our general plan. We are currently in the consultant selection process, and we're hoping to wrap that up this week. We have a couple of interviews with some consultants that we've narrowed it down to. And then we should be moving full steam ahead, hopefully wrapping up the general plan update next year. However, we are looking at having this be heavily involved with having the public involved throughout this general plan process, just because the public has felt like they haven't really been involved in our previous plan updates. And so we're trying to help people be informed of what we're doing as we're going throughout this process. And we know that this general plan update, it's primarily for the unincorporated areas, but, it can help influence other development patterns throughout the county. So I just wanted to give everyone a quick update on that.
Terrific. Thank you, Jeff.
Yep, thank you.
Good to be aware of. Any questions for Jeff? Any other items of business? Kip.
Wayne, do you want me to read the roll, or are we just good to go?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and read it, and we'll see if anybody, if we've missed anyone. Thank you. Go ahead, Kip.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just read these. No need to respond, but until I get to the end, and then if I missed anyone, we'll get you added in here. I've got Wayne Bennion, Kip Billings, Eldon Bingham, Jim Bolzer, Kim Clossing, Rochelle Kuster, Grant Farnsworth, Paul Hansen, Pat Calise, Kayla Kincaid, Juan LeSpradlin, Jeff Miller, Kendall Thomas, Tom Tripp, James Waltz, Debbie Wynn, Lisa Zundel, Rosie Hernandez, Nathan Lee, and there was and Tiffany Pocock. Then there was a Tim, T-I-M-M, and someone mentioned a Tim Dixon. Is that the same person?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so did I miss anyone? Okay, sounds like we got it.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
This is Kim in Tooele County. Can you hear me?
Can barely hear you, Kim.
I know. I don't know why my mic doesn't work too great. I'm sorry, everybody, if I yell really loud. Hey, I just wanted to give a big shout out to you, Dot, and just a bunch of people that helped with the sound wall and getting permission down in Stansberry. And I just really appreciate everybody's help on that. So it's the Tooele Valley pathway and furthering that along. And I just appreciate those that helped with getting that furthered along. So I've been trying to work on getting, we had the underpass, but we're still trying to work on trying to get people across State Road 36. So thank you, UDOT, for all your efforts and all your help. I just really appreciate it.
And we were happy to help. And yeah, please let us know if you have other projects like that in the future that we can work together on.
I just, thank you. Thank you. It's so awesome. So I'm excited for the future. So.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you. Any other items of business?
I received a notice of grant opportunity for federal and tribal. I'm not sure if you guys received that same letter of notice of funding opportunity about that. I'm not sure. I believe the submittal for about IBAPA in the past. Is that correct, or is that a different grant application? Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Yeah, I'll speak to that, guys. We were notified that is come. They've got a new tranche of money that's available, and they encouraged us to resubmit basically the same thing we submitted before. So we will be doing that.
Perfect. So you don't need any help. You've got that covered then.
So I think we're good on that one.
Perfect. Thanks. That's all.
Great. Anyone else?
Oh, I was going to say, Jeff, could you include Aguilar as you start that general plan from UDOT? He's the long-range planner, and myself as you start meetings.
Did you catch that, Jeff?
Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
If you could include,
I was just asking. Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
If you could include myself and Jay Aguilar as you start the general plan update, that'd be great.
Yeah, we could do that. Thanks, Grant.
Wayne, I have one more question. Does anybody at UDOT know who the region program manager is in charge of the Safe Routes to School grant program? I know that's changed a little while ago.
Yeah, I believe it's Amber Mortensen.
Amber?
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Great. Glad you're... Lots of questions. Anybody else? I'll just mention, I believe WFRC will be sending out an email in October, but my understanding is that the intent of UDOT in regard to the Transportation Investment Fund, this Transportation Investment Fund is to open the nomination process sometime in October, maybe toward the end of October. I'm not positive when exactly, but for nominations for active transportation, transit, first mile, last mile, highway projects for considering in the upcoming cycle of transportation investment fund programming. Grant, Lisa, is that pretty accurate?
Yes, that is correct. Where the highway projects are naturally, we take everything that's in phase one, which would include the one SR36. So that will be considered for prioritization. What we're doing now will just help provide a better idea of what it could be. But the TIF active transportation that requires nomination, like Wayne said, and the TTIF, first mile, last mile, and TIF TTIF transit. Those all require nominations, which will start in, I think, towards the end of October for nominations.
Great, thank you. I believe the next meeting, is scheduled for Monday, December 14th. Appreciate everyone's participation today, and we'll look forward to seeing you before long, and the RPO will reconvene on Monday, December 14th.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Wayne.